Thoughts from the scriptures with you this morning. I thought it might be good to talk about leadership and followership, seeing you just appointed a new pastoral leader. Might unpack from the scriptures what that might mean for Robert and what might mean for you as well. Really thank you for that song, Matthew, and leading us so well. And it's a real reminder that, you know, we're not outsourcing the mission of God to Robert. It's not Robert's job to go and save the community of Laidley, although he might want to do that and will seek to do that, but he's not going alone. It's incumbent upon all of us as followers of Jesus to bear witness to him and testify to the good news that's found only in him, a good news that's so desperately needed. When we were driving out here this morning, we actually spent most of the time driving into a rainbow, which was quite something as we travelled along. The rainbow was ever proceeding in front of us, a little bit like the Holy Spirit going before us this morning. So I have a couple of scriptures just to read, Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:17 say this: "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account." Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, we pray that you, the living word, Lord Jesus, would reveal to us the written word by your Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would apply the truths of your scriptures to us and to each of our contexts and each as we have need. Thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, these verses can be a bit of a challenge to us when we hear words like submit have confidence in and follow and lead and all those kinds of words. Can be a little bit triggering for some of us. We don't naturally warm to the idea of submitting to leadership. As Australians, we don't like tall poppies we can be a little bit averse to those who are given leadership roles amongst us. And for some of us that can come because perhaps we've got a bit of convict heritage, that we come from a convict stock and we sort of still remember echoes of, you know, the lash. For others of us, we might be related to German immigrants and fiercely independent farmers. Don't like people telling us what to do. I think it's in our Australian psyche that we perhaps a little bit resistant to leadership at times, and we might be like some of the workers that I work with. I was a boilermaker at one part of my life, and I remember in the crib room one morning, one of the guys sought to take charge and, you know, give a bit of leadership, and one of the other guys piped up and said, "Who died and made you Pope?" You know, so they weren't particularly inclined to follow his leadership. Who made you the boss? Add to that the accounts of significant high-profile Christian leaders who have fallen from grace for various reasons. And sometimes our own painful experiences of leaders gone awry and leaders who have been imperfect. Leaders who perhaps were gifted but arrogant. Passionate, perhaps, but perhaps manipulative. Or leaders who are perhaps confident, but misdirected in where they put that confidence. And so when we hear "trust your leaders," we might have a bit of a pushback to that. We might put some conditions on that. Now, these verses of Scripture weren't written in a vacuum. They're not a call to blind obedience, but they're an invitation to follow wisely and to follow well. So I want to unpack that just briefly. One of the important things of followership is choosing the right kind of leaders. That's where it starts, choosing right leaders. The writer of the Hebrews is telling us not to just follow anybody, but to follow trustworthy leaders. And so whilst this has been Robert's induction, leadership in the New Testament is always plural. There's a plurality of leaders. Our congregational system of governance and our belief as Baptists in the priesthood of all believers, in that we believe that leadership rests in a group. But among that group, there's leaders among leaders. And so as Robert set apart to give his time to the work and ministry of pastoring and leadership, he's going to lead a group of leaders. But there's three things to look for in leaders, to pick good leaders. First of all, they speak the right gospel. In verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you." A leader worth following is one who's saturated in the good news about Jesus. They're grounded in the scriptures. Their central message is from the written word of God and is about the living word of God. That's the Lord Jesus. So the written word of God, the Bible, testifies to the living word of God, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus himself said that he was the fulfillment of the scriptures. And so Robert's going to make a lot to do about Jesus as he comes to the scriptures. And so the good news is has Jesus front and center. The good news, the gospel, is about how a person can be made right with God. And the only way a person can be made right with God is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as God and man, incarnate, who lived in this world and taught what God was like, showed us what God was like, who gave his life for us and died on the cross, was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is going to come and judge all people. And the good news is, if we put our faith in Jesus and trust in him, he saves us. He redeems us. He gives us the life of God, the life that God wants for each of us. And that's not just heaven when we pass away, but to actually be his representatives here on this earth and making the life of God present to all around us, showing the way. This is the good news. Now, if someone starts drifting from that message and watering it down or making it about themselves or their pet theology, there's a red flag there. You don't follow leaders because they're commissioned or charismatic or clever. You follow them because they speak the gospel. So, choosing a right leader is one who speaks the gospel. Secondly, they show the right character. Verse 7 again, consider the outcome of their life. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Now, you can tell a lot about a leader, about the fruit that comes from their ministry over time. Are they humble? Do they have integrity? Do they treat people with respect? And especially when there's nothing that they can expect back. Are they the same person in public as they are in private? The Apostle Paul points to character when he lists the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians in chapter 5. It says that the fruit of the Holy Spirit it produces in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And there's no law against these things. Now that doesn't mean that gifting and charisma and capacity and ability are irrelevant. It's just that they're not everything. Those things are to be valued. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of leadership and pastoral leadership. And Pastor Robert has proven that gifting and grown in that gifting over time. But none of that can replace character. It's character that sustains leadership and inspires followership. And so the New Testament is far more interested in the leader's inner life than their resume and their personal internal world rather than their persona or their presentation. And so, choosing good leaders is about those that speak the gospel, those that have right character, and finally, they have the right motivation. Verse 17, they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Now, good leaders aren't driven by their ego or ambition, but they are driven by the fact that they know they're going to stand before God one day, as we all do, and have to give an account of what God gave them responsibility for. So their motive isn't about control, but about shepherding. They want to act for your good and not their own gain. The Apostle Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5:2. Be shepherds of God's flock, not because you must, but because you're willing, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Eager to serve. Now, here's a newsflash. Leaders aren't perfect. I mean, you're not surprised by that. But they're people. You're not perfect either. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. We've got to cut each other some slack. But you know what? When a leader teaches Jesus and lives a life of integrity and leads to serve rather than be served, they're worth following. Now, you might not always agree with them. You might not always like some of the things that they do or the decisions that they might make. But because they care for you and they fear God, they're someone worth following. So there's three things to look for in a leader. And I think you're probably sitting there going, tick, speaks the right gospel, tick, shows the right character, tick, has the right motives. Three ticks for Robert. There we go. But you know what, Robert? It's not all about you. Not all about you. In order for a leader to be effective, they need good followers. So this is where we all have a role. So once you've found a good follower, what are you meant to do? A good leader, what are you meant to do? Well, first of all, Hebrews 13:7 again, imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. Now, this isn't about copying their preaching style, their fashion choices, or their haircut. Although Ross and I and Wayne, all the ball jokes will come out. There's three types of hairstyle. There's parted, unparted, and departed. There you go. Write that one down. It's not about those things. I was trained at Malian College, and so was Robert, and the principal of Malian College, and one of our formative lectures was Dr. John Sweetman, who was the principal while we were there and also trained us in preaching. So it's his fault today, what you're getting. I was up in Cairns Baptist preaching, and John Sweetman's sister was there in the congregation, and she came up to me afterwards and she said, "I can tell that you studied under John. I can tell that John taught you how to preach." I'm going, "Oh, what was it? Was it the sermon structure? Was it my inductive sermon style? Was it the way I exegeted the passage, parsing Greek verbs and all these kinds of things?" He says, "No, it's your shirt. He wears those same coloured shirts." Wow. It's usually got flowers and such. I haven't got one of those on today. It's not about all those things. It's about trusting God. How do they pray? How do they handle suffering? What habits have they formed? We learn by watching and modelling faith in action. And while Jesus is our ultimate example, we often see him most clearly in those who've walked with him over time and lead us spiritually. And so the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And so I know that that's Robert's heart, to say, "Follow me as I follow Jesus. And together we'll follow Jesus." And so to follow well means we imitate the faith of our leaders as they are following Jesus. Secondly, have confidence in them. Have confidence in your leaders. Now, we're not talking about a blind faith in the leaders. Talking about that word for confidence is a Greek word that actually means be willing to be persuaded. Okay, so it's actually in the passive middle voice, which means that allow yourself to be led by them. That word is a word where we put ourselves in a position to actually willingly trust them and willingly cooperate with their leadership. I like to go hiking with my two adult sons, when I asked my wife how old they were, because I forget how old they are, they're 34 and 28, I'm going, goodness, when did they get so old? But I go hiking with them, and I've been a couple of times hiking with them, up to Laidley Creek Falls, which is the head of your lovely valley. You come in from the Goombra side, and it's quite an intensive hike, and it's quite demanding. And one time we went up there, it was after the big bushfires that went through. Now, even though I'd been there a couple of times before, but it probably was 10 years previously, the memory wasn't so good. They were following me, and I had a map, I had a GPS, and a bit of a clue, and we did get there, but never once did they go, "Dad, you don't know what you're doing. Dad, we've lost confidence in you." At one point, I was losing confidence in myself. But we did get to the campsite. The funny thing is, I couldn't quite remember where the campsite was, and we set up camp, and I'm going, I don't remember, you know, having to chock myself up because I was rolling out of my sleeping bag at night. I thought it was much more level. We'd only packed up and walked a little bit further, realised that I was in the wrong spot. It was about 15 metres further down. But apart from that, we got there. Now, they submitted to my leadership because they had confidence in me. They had confidence in the fact that, you know, I knew roughly where I was going, that I'd had experience, that I'd been there before, and they submitted to my leadership. So this is about choosing to trust those who've earned trust over time. Leaders aren't perfect, again, but they should be growing in demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit and godly character. Those are leaders who are worth following. And this is scripture is about giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's supporting them and encouraging them. And finally, the last one is submit to their authority. Now, this could be a triggering word. We get nervous about the word submit. The word here is actually only used this once in the New Testament. It's one of those rare words that the Apostle Paul's looking for the right word here. And he chooses this word that's not used anywhere else in the New Testament for submit. It means to listen under. It's not blind obedience again, but a voluntary attitude of submission. And it's a submission that's not forced from above, but a personal choice to defer to spiritual guidance. It's just different from simple obedience. It's about letting go of resistance. It's about an internal posture of the heart, not external compliance. It's about being teachable, about being responsive, about honouring and willing to follow direction, even when it's hard. That's what true biblical submission is all about. It's not about hierarchy or position or punitive power, but a heart posture, a willingness to be led. So there are three things for good fellowship: imitating faith, having confidence, and submission to spiritual leadership. Now, why does this matter? And here's the clincher in verse 17 of Hebrews 13. Do this so their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. That would be of no benefit of you. Let me tell you, nothing saps a leader's energy faster than criticism and mistrust and passive resistance, being undermined, people trying to influence outside of direct communication. In my own pastoral ministry, I've had times where this has happened. And in one of the churches I was leading, the whole group of people didn't like, they wanted to change, but they didn't want to change. And as a friend of mine says, change and comfort can't coexist. Change isn't comfortable. We all know we've got to. And without change, you can't have growth. You know, growth means change, and it's not comfortable, not always easy. And so some people resist that. They want to. They know we've got to change, but they don't want to. And so there's this resistance. And a whole group of people in the church who were trying to starve me out. One of them came and said, "We're withholding our tithes and offerings because we don't like the direction." And I'm going, "Oh, goodness, I'd hate to be in your shoes, brother." You know. And the crazy part was, and this was during the global recession, when, you know, business was tough and things was constrained. And we committed, the leadership and I committed that attitude to prayer. We loved them. But we were convinced that God wanted us to move in a certain direction. The crazy thing was the offerings went through the roof. God was blessing the church abundantly. There was a whole bunch of people missing out on that blessing because they were being disobedient. They weren't submitting to their leadership just because they didn't like it. When a leader knows their people are with them and praying for them and trusting in them and encouraging them, it lifts them. It's lifting. No one's died of encouragement yet. It's actually, the scriptures tell us to encourage one another. Another newsflash, it's not our job to keep leaders humble. That's God's job. It's God's job to keep us humble. The scriptures tell us God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Our job is to encourage each other, even when it's hard. Encouragement goes a long way in helping leaders lead well. and help you follow well. The church becomes healthy and life-giving. People grow and the gospel spreads and joy multiplies. So much energy is given to conflict in churches. It breaks my heart to see churches not leading well, not living up to the mission of Jesus because they're so consumed with what's happening inside. Our job is to be out of the church, out of the building. We gather so we can scatter. We gather to be encouraged and strengthened and to have fellowship and communion so that we can go out empowered to be Jesus' representatives and continue his mission in the world. And so the goal of these verses is clear: to ensure that leaders can lead with joy and not with grief, not walking in jelly. And the practical effect of this submission is the well-being of the entire community. Everyone benefits, not just the leaders, but everyone. Leaders are accountable to God, so are we all. And submission is ultimately a matter of shared spiritual responsibility. So my prayer for you at Laidley Baptist, that this special occasion, setting apart Robert for pastoral leadership, that you would be a place that is led well and a place where you're following well as we each play our part. Amen? Let me pray for you again. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us all a calling to follow you, Jesus, but also to minister to each other as the body of Christ. Knowing that you've set apart leaders to lead, help us to follow well and help those leaders to lead well. And together, that this would be a joy, that this would be a season of fruit for the kingdom. And Lord, we look to you for ultimate blessing and ultimate empowering and ultimate strengthening and your grace to abound in this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the mayor up now. Tanya Milligan's here, and give her a warm welcome. She's going to come up and just share a greeting with us. Thank you, Tanya, for being with us today.
Thank you very much. A bit nervous, some of the words and some of the messaging that you just said in about leadership. Can I say a really warm welcome to each and every one of you here. It's lovely to be here. I particularly want to acknowledge Mr. Neville Hain, president of the Laidley RSL that's here. As an army mum, I always like to acknowledge our servicemen and women. So if there are other servicemen and women here, I'd like to acknowledge your service, because today is about service. That is why we've gathered. So, Pastor Robert, it was lovely. I met you at the beginning of April when we had the official opening of Hub 99. It was a bit of a catalytic time, I guess, for me, because we had just come through the Cyclone Alfred, but I was also a grandmother for the first time. So coming to the opening of the Hub was, particularly for me, a really great celebration of new beginnings and what could be. I would say too that whoever picked the hymns for today's service, well done. I loved each and every one of them. They are in my mix of my favourite hymns. There were parts of Stuart's messaging. You talked about submission and confidence. That made me think it is tough being a leader. But no doubt, Pastor Robert, I met you when you were the chaplain of the church. So no doubt you have clearly demonstrated to church, to the congregation, your leadership abilities and being a good and faithful servant. So I really applaud you for that. I personally look forward to working with you, and also I will say alongside of you, because it really is important that we do surround ourselves with good people. Coming to church this morning has been really lovely. I tend to try and make my way around the congregations, and it's lovely to go into a church where you can really feel the energy and everyone saying with huge voices. So everyone drowned out my horrible voice as I was singing really, really loud, apart from Neville, who probably did hear me singing. So blessings to you, blessings to Jenny as well, and in your journey ahead. I think it's a very, very exciting time, not only for the church community here, but most certainly for the community of the Lockyer Valley. So thank you very, very much. Blessings to you both, and a really sincere thank you for being here. I might also add, I went to school with you guys, Stuart and your wife, Teresa. Lockyer District High School. Yeah. What can I say? So I feel that I'm among friends and also family. So thank you. Blessings again.